Hey there, and welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're really digging into something powerful. It's the 16th and final verse of a really profound ancient text, Psalm 91. Yeah, it's often seen as this, culmination of divine promises. So our mission today is to explore exactly what that verse means. The verse itself says, "With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." So we're going to unpack these three core ideas: long life, deep satisfaction, and salvation, basically, as they're presented in our source material, which is actually a fascinating collection. You get theological insights, but also these real-world testimonies, and it shows how these concepts, well, how they come together, like a declaration of complete restoration and fulfillment.
Exactly. And what's truly compelling about this single verse, I think, is how our source presents it as the grand finale. Yeah. It really ties together all those themes you find earlier in the psalm, divine protection, God's presence, all the assurances given. It's where these profound spiritual concepts stop being just theoretical. They're shown to have like tangible real world impact.
You know, I found the source's take on long life particularly eye-opening.
Yeah.
Because, well, most of us probably equate long life with just having more birthdays, right? More years in the calendar. Mm-hmm. But the material really challenges that idea. It suggests true longevity isn't just about the quantity of years, it's more about the quality of the life lived. This profound inner fulfillment that can make even a shorter life feel incredibly rich. It's almost a redefinition, it kind of flips our modern understanding of success on its head.
That's a really crucial distinction, yeah. And when you look at other ancient texts, like Proverbs 3.12, for instance, they echo this exact idea. It says, "Living in alignment with wisdom brings many years, sure, but also peace and prosperity." It's striking how deeply this promise of well-being is woven into the very fabric of covenant. It links a full life directly to living in harmony with these principles. So yeah, it's not just about surviving, it's really about thriving.
Right, thriving. And speaking of thriving, our source emphasizes another key promise from this verse: deep satisfaction. And again, this isn't just like fleeting happiness or feeling good for a moment. It's presented as this enduring contentment that comes from being in alignment. Think of it like a profound inner peace, one that sort of transcends whatever's going on externally.
It's interesting, isn't it? Our sources seem to hint that this satisfaction isn't really something you get or acquire. It's more like something that flows from being truly fulfilled at a really fundamental level. It's a kind of peace that underpins everything, allowing you to find contentment even when life is, well, challenging. So this redefines satisfaction quite a bit. It's not just a temporary feeling, but more like a consistent state of being, regardless of what's happening outside.
Okay, now here's where the concept of salvation really expands. Because our source material highlights something critical about the Hebrew word. The word for salvation, Yeshua, apparently implies something incredibly comprehensive, much broader than we might think. We're talking about full deliverance, rescue, victory, and wholeness. All of that wrapped up in one word.
Yeah.
There's not just a single moment of being saved, It's presented as an ongoing, all-encompassing state of well-being.
Exactly. And what this makes us consider is, well, how does someone actually experience such a comprehensive wholeness in daily life? You look at, say, Isaiah 12.2, it declares, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." That captures this foundational sense of security and trust.
Right.
And then if you connect that to John 10.10, it talks about having life and have it to the full. Mm. This isn't just basic existence, right? It's an abundant, overflowing life, one that touches every part of your being, physical, emotional, spiritual.
Yeah, and it's one thing to, discuss these concepts in theory, but our source really drives home how these aren't just abstract ideas floating around. They're shown as actively transforming lives. It presents these promises as a living truth. Something unfolding in real time for people, well, all across the globe.
Exactly right. Take, for example, the story of a widow in Abuja, Nigeria. She lost her spouse during a regional crisis. The source describes how, her years were not only extended, but her children's education was somehow sustained through it all. And now she actually leads a Bible study group of over 200 women. What's fascinating here is how this isn't just survival. It's a profound demonstration of restoration and renewed purpose. It really illustrates that deep satisfaction, even in the midst of adversity.
Wow. Or consider the refugee family from Syria mentioned in the source. After fleeing war, they found refuge and hope. And apparently, Psalm 91 became their anchor as they started this completely new life in Germany. And today, the source says they're actively serving in ministry. They're actually teaching about God's protection in refugee camps, sharing the very truth that anchored them during their own upheaval. That's just such a powerful picture of salvation as ongoing deliverance, as victory leading to a whole new purpose.
It really is. And there's another one in Brazil during those violent gang uprisings in Rio de Janeiro. A young man apparently committed to nightly Psalm 91 prayers and, according to the source, survived multiple attacks. And it highlights that he is now a youth pastor and a community leader. So that demonstrates a really clear transition, doesn't it? From personal protection to becoming a force for positive community impact. That really embodies that comprehensive wholeness we were talking about.
And the source material also mentions doctors, I think, in India and Kenya, who have apparently spoken about what they describe as miraculous healing in patients. This was happening when families regularly declared Psalm 91 over their loved ones who were sick. And these testimonies, the source states, are continuing to multiply. It just suggests an active, ongoing manifestation of these promises, where salvation isn't just, you know, spiritual, but also includes physical restoration. So, okay, what does this all mean for us? What's the takeaway here? Our source isn't just presenting Psalm 91 point meat as some dusty historical text. It's truly calling it a living truth. And it actually encourages actively speaking God's word over your life daily. Not like a lucky charm, obviously, but as something dynamic and transformative.
Right. And stepping back for a moment, beyond just speaking the word, the source also suggests journaling testimonies. You know, writing down how these promises have actually shown up in your life. It even advocates for teaching this verse and its promises to children and elders, making it a kind of family altar practice. Which really emphasizes a deep, integrated engagement with the text. It makes it a communal thing, a generational experience.
Okay, so wrapping this up then, what are the key takeaways from this deep dive? We've really seen how our source material interprets Psalm 91.16, not just as, you know, a simple promise of extended years, but as a deeply fulfilled life. Mm-hmm. And salvation is this really comprehensive wholeness and deliverance. It's a much broader, more active concept than maybe we initially assume.
Absolutely. And looking at the broader implications, the consistent theme across all these global examples we talked about, the widow in Abuja, the family in Germany, the healings in India and Kenya, the idea is that these promises are presented as a living truth, something actively shaping lives today, not just a historical text you study in a library.
Yeah, it really makes you think, doesn't it, about how these profound declarations are presented as, like, intersecting directly with everyday challenges. Offering a powerful lens, maybe, through which to view resilience and transformation, even right in the midst of difficulty.
And here's a key point, maybe a question to leave folks with. When we consider salvation as that full package deliverance, rescue, victory, wholeness, all wrapped up in the Hebrew Yeshua, how might such a multifaceted promise continue to manifest? You know, in power and personal fulfillment across all the diverse human experiences, even today in our modern world. What does life to the full truly look like? Not just as a concept, but in the actual unfolding narrative of individual lives. Makes you wonder.